This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
The Holy Spirit is the one that produces a love within us for others that makes us willing and eager to encourage. We don't have that in us naturally. Now, again, there are some natural folks that are natural in the sense of being positive, in the sense of reaching out. But to spiritually encourage another person, that comes from the Spirit of God.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Encourage.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. And the topic we're covering today is encouragement. How important it is for us to encourage one another as fellow followers of Jesus Christ. This world is a really discouraging place. If you look around, you'll see so many people almost physically weighed down by discouragement. That discouragement can come from many sources. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's health, sometimes it's relationships, but it just seems like discouragement abounds. And God has designed His church to be a place where when we gather together, there's just encouragement, there's strength that's being infused in one another because of our relationship with each other. I know that oftentimes that's not the experience of many believers, but I believe it's possible, and I believe it can begin with us. I believe that each one of us has the potential of being catalysts of encouragement in our own local church. And so let's open up God's Word together to Acts 11.
My granddaughter Alexi had her first birthday last week. Super excited, and one joy of our time together was Alexi walked about 8 or 9 steps for the very first time. Wow. Walking is such a simple act, isn't it? And yet what fun we had in seeing this little one take her first steps. When she arrived to her mom, guess what we did? We all clapped and cheered like she had just won the Super Bowl. And she looked at us with a huge smile and this face that just said, I have accomplished something great. Why did we cheer for a little one-year-old for doing something so simple, something so common? You know, that evening, I didn't cheer for Kimberly when she walked, or for Kira, or for Alexander, or even for Malachi, who's 3 years old. I didn't cheer when they walked. Why did we clap for Alexi? Answer is, she needs some encouragement at this point in her life. We wanted her to feel the joy of learning a new skill. We wanted her to feel more confident because it's a rather scary practice for her. We wanted her to overcome fear, the fear of falling down, so that she would try again. By giving positive affirmation, Alexi's mind and heart is strengthened to persevere in this walking. And soon, she's going to be running all over the house. But in this early season, we know that encouragement makes such a big difference to little ones. She is helped when others cheer her on. Well, God employs the word picture of walking often in His book to describe a God-pleasing life. In the Old Testament, Micah the prophet writes, He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Paul uses this metaphor over 29 times in his letters. For instance, in Ephesians 2, he says, So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. In Colossians 2, he says, Just as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. Walking is one of the Apostle John's favorite metaphors as well, to refer to a life lived by faith. He says, Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way that He, Jesus, walked. My granddaughter Alexi finds walking difficult at this stage, sometimes discouraging and dangerous. Walking is difficult because her muscles have not yet been fully developed, haven't been fully trained to walk. It's discouraging because she often fails, and it's dangerous because sometimes those falls kind of hurt. She needs someone to encourage her. Friends, do you ever find that walking humbly with God can be difficult and discouraging and even dangerous? You know, all of us who are in Christ do. Walking by faith is difficult because this flesh of ours is very weak and sin often deceives us. walking in love is discouraging because we often stumble. We often fail. Walking with God is dangerous because the world hates God and it'll hate us when we walk with God. When Jesus returns, walking won't be difficult or discouraging or dangerous. We're going to be walking in full strength with nothing hindering us. But right now in this world, we need to be encouraged. Look around for a moment. Look at some of the folks sitting near you. I don't know if you know them or not, but look around. They're your part of your church family, your brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, every person you see needs encouragement, every one of them. Some believers here in our family are winning the battle. Some believers here in our assembly are losing the battle. But the truth is, every brother and sister is battling. That's the nature of the Christian life. It is a war. It is a fight. And so every one of us needs encouragement. And so as we look at Acts 11 this morning, I want you to ask yourself the question, will I be God's instrument to encourage my brothers and my sisters in their walk? Will I be God's instrument? So in Acts 11, 19 through 30, we find an example of a man of encouragement. So much as encouragement does this man bring to others that the apostles actually changed his name to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He started out as Joseph in his life. Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. And then the apostles came alongside of him as he came to faith in Christ, was baptized, became an active member in the church there in Jerusalem. And the apostle says, you know what? We're not going to call you Joseph anymore. Really? Yeah, no, we're not going to call you Joseph. We're going to call you Barnabas. We're going to call you Barney because that means son of encouragement. I don't know whether he liked it or not. That was just stuck and Luke kept it. God intends our church family to be an oasis of encouragement in the midst of a desert of unbelief. And that's what encouragement is. It's like freshing spring water, a cool drink of water in the time when we're parched and we're thirsty. And God intends the church to be a place of an oasis so that when we gather together, though the world has been dry and hot and thirsty, when we gather together, this is where we find refreshment from one another as we feed each other the word, love, faith, hope, encouragement, right? Over and over, God commands us to encourage one another in our walk. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. It's a commandment for every one of us. Hebrews 3, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, the writer of Hebrews, underneath the Spirit, is saying, this world is hard and sin is deceitful. And if we don't encourage each other, there's going to be some who fall and get deceived by sin. We need to remind each other what is true, who God is, and what God has for us presently and in the future. So how does encouragement help us? Well, encouragement helps us see God more close to us and less distant. It makes us see sin more foolish and less appealing. Our trials feel less devastating. Our future appears more bright. Our enemy is exposed as powerless. Jesus is lifted up as the victorious conqueror that he is. God's blessings are seen as bountiful. The grace of God is found to be sufficient. The comfort of God is experienced. The holiness of God is magnified. The love of God removes self-pity and despair. And the church grows into a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. All of these happen as a result of the encouragement of the saints together. So we pick up our story in verse 19. Look in your Bibles. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. So you remember, Stephen's martyred for the faith, first martyr recorded. And everyone is trying to find a safe place because they literally be thrown in prison or killed for trusting in Jesus as their Savior. And so they're moving to places where there's not that kind of persecution. And they go for great distances away, Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. But they keep to themselves. They're Jewish believers. They're keeping themselves. They're speaking the word to no one, not the Gentiles in those communities, but the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke the word to the Hellenists, to the Greeks, to the Gentiles there in Antioch. And they were preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. What we see is God is doing his work, and we're his instruments. You know, who would have thought the mission of these folks who are scattered and scared as they start to approach Gentiles is going to be successful? Well, it's successful not because they were so good at sales, but it's successful because the Spirit of God is at work through them, through the gospel. This begins a radically new chapter in God's plan of salvation as Jews and Gentiles are becoming part of the same family, the same church. And Jews are recognizing that God's plan is for Gentiles to be co-heirs with them, to receive all the blessings and promises of God. So a church is planted in Antioch, and I want you to note that that church that's planted there is not planted because of the apostles. Sometimes we think of the apostles as specifically trained men, and they are. The 11 all followed Jesus for 3 years in his life. But here, this church is planted how? Through the witness of lay people. People who are just zealous for the Lord. People like you. People who hadn't gone to seminary. People who haven't gone to Bible school. They just love the Lord. And so when they get scattered because of persecution to a new city and they find a job there, they just start talking about Jesus. And a church is planted. Many people come to the Lord because these lay folks, these members of the church, in their love for the Lord, are sharing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And God's opening hearts. He's changing lives. Look at verse 22. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. So the apostles are mostly there in Jerusalem, and the church hears about this church starting in Antioch, made up of Gentiles. And who do they send? They send Barnabas, the son of encouragement, to Antioch. Now, Luke introduces Barnabas in this story as though we already know who he is, and we should, because Luke has talked about him before. Remember from Acts 4 that Barnabas is a Jewish man who grows up in Cyprus. He comes to faith in Jesus Christ. He's in Jerusalem as he hears the gospel, likely through the preaching of the apostles. He's baptized, becomes a member committed to serving God in the church. His parents have named him Joseph at birth, but the apostle says, "You're going to be called Barnabas, son of encouragement." Let me read you from Acts 4, 36 and 37. "Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So Joseph encourages others in the church so consistently, so deeply, that he has become known as an encourager. And he cheerfully gives of his resources, this field that he sells, to say, the church can use the money from this field to advance the name of Jesus. And so he cheerfully gives that field for the glory of God. And then Barnabas appears in Acts 9. You perhaps remember this part of the story as well, verse 26 and 27. "When he had come to Jerusalem," this is Saul or Paul, "he attempted to join the disciples, but all the disciples were afraid of Paul." Remember, he was a persecutor of the church, for they didn't believe that he really was a disciple. They thought this was some kind of ruse. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord." He is so other-oriented. He has so much faith in God. He says, "No, I need to encourage this new convert, Saul, and I need to come along even at great risk. If he's lying, God has my life in his hands anyway. But if he's telling the truth, and I think he is, it would be terrible for us to withdraw ourselves from a brother." That's his heart of encouragement, his heart of otherness. Have you ever thought what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't been such an encourager to Saul early and the church had kept distance from Saul? You know, what a tragedy. So God uses the courage of encouragement through this man Barnabas to ultimately spread the gospel to the world. So now we pick up in our story in Acts 11, 22 again. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. And he came and he saw the grace of God that was working among the Gentiles in Antioch. And he was glad. He rejoiced. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And why did he do that? Well, because he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And he was full of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and they taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. There in verse 23, you might just underline that word exhorted. I actually wish the ESV would have translated that the way almost every other translation gives it. Every other translation reads the word encourage them. Encourage them. The Greek word here is parakaleo. parakaleo simply means to call alongside of. And the idea is a person coming near to another person who has a need and then offering assistance to help. So parakaleo is to come along and help, to come along and give positive reinforcement, whether that's physical, whether it's verbal, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, in some way to strengthen the person who needs assistance. This word encourage is always positive. It always is upbeat. Sometimes it means to comfort a person who's hurting. Sometimes it means to cheer on a person who's weary, struggling. Sometimes it means to instruct a person who's confused and needs some help to understand what God would will. But encouragement provides strength from one person to another. The idea is, you can imagine a sort of a weary traveler who has traveled a long distance under intense heat, and he has this huge backpack on. It's so heavy, you can almost see him struggle under it. You come alongside of him, and as you do, you see he stumbles and nearly falls to the ground, and you reach out and grab him. That's parakaleo. It's coming alongside of him to say, hey, let me help you. Let me first keep you from falling. I see you're weary, friend. Let me take your pack for you now. Let me take it off. And then if that's not enough, hey, let me put my arm around you. Let me support you as we walk together. Where are you going? I'll walk with you. That's encouragement. So Barnabas is sent by the apostles in Jerusalem to encourage these new saints. Let me ask you, do you wish to be a Barnabas, to be a person who encourages others? Do you think it'd be fun to be used by God to help your brothers and sisters to grow strong in their faith? Do you think it would be exciting to be used by God to strengthen your church family for the ministry that they have in the community and with other believers? Well, God says that we, each one of us, can. That it's not a special gifting to be able to encourage them. I think Barnabas did have a special gifting, but that all of us have access to that kind of impact. And as we look at Barnabas, we learn some things about encouragement. We're going to look at five specific commitments that all encouragers have in common. Kind of reflect on your life to see, is this true of me? Because as these commitments sort of come in line in our own hearts, we will find that God will use us in amazing ways to encourage our brothers and sisters. The first is a willingness to be sent by God. You remember, look at verse 22 again. So the report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now that seems, it's easy to run by that and say, oh, yeah, they sent him around. Like Barnabas just sort of waiting around to be sent somewhere. Barnabas had a job, he had friends, he had a house, you know, he had stuff. He had kind of settled into Jerusalem, the area, gotten comfortable there. And the church leaders came, hey, Barnabas, you need to pick up and travel 300 miles to a city that you've never been, to a people you don't know, and we're going to send you there. Now, what would your, if I came up to you today after the church service and sent you to a city 300 miles away and said, hey, I just believe you need to go, what would you say to me? You say, oh, I need to pray over it. That's at least, and then you'd go home and say, oh, we prayed, we're not going to go. That's the likely response. Now, these guys, of course, are apostles. They have authority from God, and they don't do this lightly. They just don't do it to every person, so this is a serious matter. Barnabas understands that, but what did he do? I'm hearing the apostles share with me what God's will is for me, and I'm ready to do it today. Once I know that this is what God would will for me, I'm there. That's what faith does. It's what it did with Abraham, for instance. Go to the place I'm going to show you. Go. Now off he goes. And so the first act of being an encourager, the first commitment, is a willingness to do what God calls us to do, to be who God calls us to be. Now, Barnabas is described in verse 24 as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of faith. So I want you to see that Barnabas did not follow his heart. He yielded to the Spirit. He yielded to God's word. There's a big difference between that. He didn't say, but wait a minute, I have dreams that I'm living out right here in Jerusalem. I don't think God would have me give up my dreams. No, he didn't speak in that kind of language. Once he came to understand that this is what God would have him to do, once that became clear to him, by faith, he acted. And he's going to do it again in Acts 13, by the way, when they send he and Saul off on the first missionary journey. Now, most often, God doesn't have to move us from our hometown in order to encourage others. But here's the question. Here's what we have to have. This is where the willingness comes in. Am I willing to approach any person that God prompts me to encourage? Because the truth is, while you might not have to move 300 miles away, you might have to move 300 feet right after the service and say, God's prompting me to go and find this person that's been on my heart and to talk to them and to pray with them or to try to encourage them in some way. I know they need encouragement, and I want to encourage them. And the question is, am I willing to do that? It's kind of scary. I don't know how they're going to think when I approach them. Maybe they don't like it even. Maybe I'll look a little odd. But the question is, if God prompts you to encourage somebody, we ask the question, am I willing to do it? Or will I allow distractions? Will I allow my fears to control? Investing time together when we're all gathered together positions us to listen to the Spirit, to take some time to listen to the Spirit, and to be directed by the Spirit in the way that we minister to each other, the way that we would encourage each other. It gives some time as well for the Spirit to open up some doors that we otherwise wouldn't have even considered having in order to encourage. So here's what Hebrews 10 says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. One of the primary reasons why gathering together on a Sunday morning is so important is not so that we'll get something out of it, although that hopefully that happens, and that is an important part. I wouldn't besmirch that. But one of the issues is, how can I encourage my other brothers and sisters if I'm not gathering together with them? The whole point is, man, when I come together, I want something dramatic to happen through me, not just to me, but also through me, for God's Spirit to work. The second commitment is that we would grow in godliness. So Luke makes much about Barnabas' spiritual life. Again, he says he's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces a love within us for others that makes us willing and eager to encourage. We don't have that in us naturally. Now again, there are some natural folks that are natural in the sense of being positive, in the sense of reaching out. But to spiritually encourage another person, that comes from the Spirit of God.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Thanks for listening to Knowing Christ today as we've been studying Acts 11 and this theme of encouragement. As we think about encouragement, we recognize that our relationship with God, which is vertical, is very connected to our relationship with one another, which is horizontal. And oftentimes, the horizontal can influence the vertical positively. In other words, because we're part of a fellowship, we have greater zeal to worship the Lord. And other times, our relationship horizontally can impact our vertical relationship negatively because the people with whom we worship are dull or in conflict, that our love for God or worship of God has lost its fire, its energy. That's why encouragement is so important, not just horizontally to help us feel better, but also vertically to help us worship better. And so I would encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters in my own local church? I believe God will strengthen your church as you seek to be His influence of encouragement. May God bless you.
If you'd like to listen to this message again or download a copy, go to knowingchrist.org. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider supporting us financially? All of the resources offered are sent with no cost to our listeners, so please help us continue to do that by giving a gift today. It's very easy. Just go to knowingchrist.org and select the support tab. That's knowingchrist.org. And thank you for your partnership. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.